Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, that's right. Tonight's show is being brought to you by Single Mother's Guide to Raising Black Boys, Forget Me Nots, a book of poetry by Aurora Lewis. And tonight's guest will be Reverend Robert Cooper from Sandusky, Ohio, and Shania Mayo, an author of the book entitled Identifying and Breaking the Cycle. Now, tonight we're going to do something a little different this evening. Marsha Deeds is not with us tonight. Hopefully she'll be back next weekend, and we're going to switch things around and have words of inspiration first this evening. Robert Cooper is in Sandusky, Ohio, which it is probably close to 12 o'clock at night there. So, you know, he's going to spread the Lord for us and to us tonight as he is a vessel. And I want everybody out there to put a prayer out there for Marsha Deeds. Put a prayer out there for Franklin Lewis and our families that we all may be healed and to keep the enemy far away. But anyway, that's that, and this is this. We are here for you and yours. I'd like to just say, hope everybody had a happy 4th, a safe 4th. I hope that everyone is going to have a wonderful summer, and we'll just move it and groove it. And take it back this way.
with me. Come on, come on, all God's people. Come on, come on, Mike.
As we get ready for the sound of words.
Do them up like this. Do them up like this. Come on.
Words of inspiration. 98 10 years to March 2.
Here we go. Next.
That was the sounds of Kirk Franklin with Hosanna. As we move in and get right into Words of Inspiration with me, co-host, Seth, sitting in for Marsha D, Donnie D, and our guest, Robert R. Cooper from Sandusky, Ohio. Yes, Robert R. Cooper. How you doing, Mr. Cooper, Reverend Cooper?
Blessed, blessed, doctor. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed to be here, man. Blessed to be here.
Good to be with you tonight.
Yes, yes. You know, as you see, things have changed around a little bit. As I explained to my listeners a little earlier, Marsha Deeds is not with us tonight on the radio, but for everybody to say some prayers for her, some prayers from her family, me and my family and all of us, you know, that we will not let the enemy come in and destroy anything. And Reverend Cooper, if you could start us off with a prayer for tonight's show, that would be wonderful.
Amen. So good to be here. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. We ask you to look upon all of the listeners that are on the line tonight. We ask you to bless this program, bless this broadcast, bless the host tonight, bless the hostess in her absence. We ask you to continue, O God, to do those things that you had purpose to do with this platform from the beginning of time, and we believe by faith that we are not here by accident on this evening. We ask, Lord, that you move tonight by your Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus, and that you have your own way. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Well, Reverend Cooper, before we get into it, how's the weather out there where you're at?
Well, you know, Brother Lewis, we have been experiencing quite a bit of rain as most of the places in the east. There's been a tremendous amount of rain this week, humidity. But I'm one that believes that we need rain. What about you?
I believe
and
we
so,
need rain any time we can get it.
Amen. And so I thank God for the abundance of rain, amen. And so it's just a seasonal thing. But, again, we're enjoying it. The 4th of July was wet here, but that's all right. It didn't stop the fireworks. And so we're doing okay. And we thank God for it.
Okay. Sounds good to me now. Do you have anything on your heart tonight that you would like to talk to the people about?
Well, when I was speaking to you earlier, Brother Lewis, the Lord placed this upon my heart that we are to stop doing things the hard way. Amen?
Amen.
And he told me to share that with people, amen, to stop doing things the hard way. Because as Christians and as believers, we have been so equipped with A, the Spirit of God, also the presence of God in Christ Jesus. And so it just doesn't make any sense, not even in the natural sense. It doesn't make sense that we try to carry these things. And those of you who have your Bibles with you, go to the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, if I may.
Okay, go right ahead.
And beginning at the 28th verse. Amen?
Amen.
And it says, and these are the words of Jesus Christ, and it reads, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you know, I began to meditate on that, and Jesus is telling us to come. And you know, that's a biggie right there, because he said, all these things I can do for you, but I need you to come. I need you to come unto me. He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from what, you may say? He said, I'm giving you rest from the unbearable stress that you have been trying to carry on your own.
Amen.
Amen. We were not equipped to carry that heavy of a load. And so he's saying, if you will trust me enough to come to me, amen. All ye, not some of ye, but all of you who are laboring and are heavy laden, he said, I assure you, I'll give you rest. Mm. And to those in the listening audience, those who may be going through unbearable stress, hear my voice on this evening. Because tonight, the Lord Jesus is offering you an opportunity to unload the burdens that you have been carrying. Some of you have been carrying these burdens for years. And whatever your situation may be, whatever may be troubling you, whatever may be trying you, whatever may be burdening you down, he said, if you come to me, I'll give you rest. And what's interesting is that we have a tendency, amen, as people, to come to everyone but Jesus. Excuse me, but
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Rather than to come to the ones who can deliver you, so many times, amen, people find themselves going to alternative sources that can do them no good. They may turn to alcohol, they may turn to drugs, they may turn to other people, they may turn to whatever the situation, whatever it is they turn to. But the only one that's going to help you in your time of need is the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't say this, amen, just as someone who is trying this out. And the wonderful thing about Jesus is his power is infinite. And his power will work for you even if you don't work the power. I'm going to say that again.
Say that again.
Because so many times people think, oh, well, this may work, but it will only work if you work it, because he's saying, if you come to me, I have the power in me to take away your heavy load.
Oh, yeah.
Amen? And then it goes on and it reads, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, Brother Lewis, if I may, I'd like to say something while we're on the line tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Because I know a lot of people know about Jesus, but how many people know Jesus? You know,
amen.
There's a difference between knowing about someone or something and actually knowing that someone or that something. And he's calling you, he's calling us into relationship. Amen. A relationship that is so powerful that he's saying, I wanna be so intimate with you that I'm calling you to yoke up with me. This is the wonderful thing about Jesus. Jesus knows more about people than people know about themselves.
Yeah.
Amen. Because he's telling us in this scripture, amen, that you have the capacity and the capability, amen, to walk alongside of me. Because that's what a yoke is. A yoke means that not only is he calling us to come to him, but he says, I want you to walk with me. Amen?
Amen.
You know, he was walking on the water one night, and they saw him from a ship. And Peter on the ship said, Lord, if it be you, Lord, bid me to come. Jesus could have said, well, Peter, I'm not sure that you could handle this, because this is only for the godly. This is only for those that are of the divine nature. So you better stay on the boat, Peter, and watch me. But rather, he said, come. And, you know, isn't it interesting that Jesus is always compelling us to come? And so he said, come. And so Peter stepped off the boat and began to walk on the water with Jesus. And as the story goes, he began to sink. But before he sank, he was walking. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Because Jesus knew the capacity that he had. He knew the ability that he had, even if Peter didn't know. And Jesus knows what we can do even when we don't know. So he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, follow me and begin to do the things I do, say the things I say, do it the way that I do it. And when you can say it like I say it, do it like I do it, amen, then soon and very soon, you can compel others to do the self-same thing.
Yes,
isn't God good to me?
Yes, he
praise the living God. Colossians 1 and 27 says these words. It says that Christ in you is your hope of glory. That's good news to me, Dr. Lewis.
Yeah.
And the reason it is because it lets me know, amen, that there's more to me than meets the eye. And there's more to everyone than what meets the eye. Because Jesus Christ dwells on the inside of you. And he says that I am Christ. Christ says, I am your hope of glory. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to understand that it's more to us than meets the eye. My Bible tells me that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. that we are God's building and that he lives on the inside of us, amen. So we need to know and understand that. I believe scripture says in John 15, it says, abide in me and let my words abide in you. And you can ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. Well, that's the news. Amen. And that's what the gospel is. That's what the gospel is, callers. The gospel is good news. Because, see, the world is full of bad news. I mean, you've got bad news stations on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But we need the good news. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Those of you who have your Bible, amen, go with me to Mark chapter 4. Praise God. Mark 4, beginning at the 35th verse. It talks a little bit about Jesus. And we need to know and understand him because he says, take his yoke upon you and learn of him. So we need to learn of him. Praise the living God. And the best place to learn of him is in the gospel. Oh, praise God. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 35. And it talks about, and the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And I'm speaking tonight to whoever it is that may be out in the listening audience, amen, whose life may have them in a storm.
Yeah, amen.
And you need to know and understand that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you, and the same Jesus who said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, is teaching us tonight how we can handle the storms. And the problem has been is that we've been doing things the hard way. We've been working too hard. We have not been using the power that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus Christ lives in me, because the Bible says he does, he's alive in me. And if we were in church service, I'd say alive. Amen.
You know, I'm sorry, Robert Cooper. I listened to your conference call on Sunday mornings, and you referred to a commercial with the guys carrying the heavy bags, and you know the guy said he had a car. You remember that?
Yes, sir, I do.
Could you please?
Sir, I do.
I think that was so heavy.
Yes, sir, I do.
Talk about what we're talking about now. Could you spread that to the people, please?
Oh, yeah, because you were referring to the message where I mentioned the commercial that we've all seen on television of the two guys walking across the bridge carrying all these arms full of groceries. And one of the guys begins to talk and tells him, and in the conversation, he reveals that he has a vehicle. And so his partner's looking at him, they're both carrying all these heavy loads, and he says, you got a car? And he said, yeah, it's an SUV. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Carrying a heavy load with an SUV is almost as bad as carrying these loads that we carry in life with Jesus Christ at the helm, down on the inside of us, and we don't even employ his services or the use of him. It's almost as if people would rather do it themselves. And I think that's pride more than anything else, because the Bible says pride cometh before destruction.
Yes, yes.
And somewhere along the line, we need to realize, Dr. Lewis, that Jesus Christ is alive in us for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it time that we've made up in our minds that we're going to let him do the work and him carry the load and him bear our burdens instead of us?
Yes.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Why not today? Amen? What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Why not try Jesus today? He did so much for us, amen. The Bible says that he took on, that they whipped him across his back and he bled, amen, and by the stripes of Jesus we've been healed. Why not try Jesus today? Amen. We tried every kind of medicine. Those medicines don't always work. We've been to every kind of doctor. Those doctors don't always work. Why not try Dr. Jesus?
Dr. Jesus.
What do you have to lose? Amen? And I'm speaking to someone in the listening audience today, Brother Lewis. And they need to know, amen, that the struggles that they've been going through in life, amen, do not have to be a permanent thing. And God is calling them tonight. He's saying, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the wonderful thing about him is, when he says all ye, he means every nationality, every color, every gender, amen. Any of every station in life, it makes no difference. Come unto me, all ye. And I'll give you rest.
Yes,
you don't have to sweat that. No more. Now,
no more.
He's not saying that in life you won't have trouble, because the Bible says in this world you will have tribulation. But
yes.
Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. What is he saying? That as long as we stay in this world, amen, we'll have the tribulations. But I believe he's calling us out of darkness, which is what the world is, into his marvelous light tonight. Amen? Does he say, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And so I want to yoke up with the one who's overcome the world. I want to yoke up with the one who's overcome tribulation. I want to yoke up with the one that's overcome sickness. I want to yoke up with the one that's overcome poverty and destruction. I want to yoke up with the one that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I want to yoke up with the only begotten son of God. What about you, callers?
You know what? I think I have a couple callers on the line. Let me see what we have here. Caller, your name and where you're calling from. You have a question for Reverend Cooper. Caller, 626, do you have a question for Reverend Cooper? Okay, we'll move on to the next caller. Caller, 626, caller, your name and where you call from, you have a question for Reverend Cooper. Hello, caller. 319.
Hello.
Hello. Caller.
Yeah.
Caller.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Sounds like Marcia D's.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm here. How are you this evening?
Amen. I'm blessed. How about yourself? Can you hear me?
I'm feeling much better, thank you. I've been listening to you. Sorry I'm not there to co-host tonight. But I appreciate the prayer. And I just want to continue listening. I'm feeling much better tonight. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. Amen. And good to hear your voice and good to have you on the line tonight. Amen. Did you have a question or a comment?
No, I just feel that, you know, we need to be equally yoked with our Lord, and you know, and he will carry our burdens for us.
Amen to that.
We have to let go and let God, and I am ready to do that. I've been very, very burdened lately with a lot of things, and, you know, I feel a burden lifted off of me. So thank you, Reverend Cooper.
Praise the living God. We thank the Lord, amen, for that, amen. Because doesn't the Bible state that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free?
Yes.
You know, the truth is not just what Jesus preached. The truth is who Jesus is. Because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And so whenever Jesus is in the midst, he said, wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he said, there am I in the midst. So it's just wonderful to have him in our midst tonight. Even though we may be calling from different locations, we may be calling from all around the world. But just knowing that we are on one accord in Jesus Christ, the power of God is in our midst to release us from the struggles, amen, that we have been burdened with right now tonight.
Yes.
And callers,
yes,
there's someone on the line out there right now who needs to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, who may be sick and tired of being sick and tired, and tonight is your night. And all he's saying is simply, come. He's not asking you to know anything. He's not asking you to do anything. He's simply asking you to come. You don't have to bring him anything. The only thing he wants you to do is lay your burdens down. Your burden may be your entire life's story. Whatever it is that's burdening you tonight, right now, whether it be sickness, poverty, amen, job issues, problems, relationship issues, whatever the case may be, he's saying, come. And when you come to Jesus, amen, and make him your Lord and Savior, you're opening your heart and you're saying, I want you to come into my heart and I want you to take over and make me under new management. I'm giving you free course, free reign to rule and to reign. I am yours. I am bought with a price. And the price he paid on Calvary, amen.
Amen.
Was enough of our sins, amen. And he wants to be the Lord of your life, amen.
Amen.
Why don't you come tonight and make Jesus the Lord of your life? What do you mean, Lord, preacher? Exactly what Lord means. Lord means the owner, because the owner of the land is called the landlord. Amen. So Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be the owner of your life. And people may say, well, I don't know if I want to commit to something that strong. But the wonderful thing about the Lord of your life being Jesus, that means he owns you in everything pertaining to your life. Amen. He's responsible for. Praise the living God.
Praise the living
when
God.
When the roof leaks, amen, the landlord comes and fixes it, not you. Praise the living God. If you have a good landlord, amen. Praise God. And so whatever is troubling you in life, Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to surround you with his love. Can you imagine a relationship with God that is so powerful that he completely envelops you with his love? Why not give your life to Jesus tonight? What are you waiting for, and what do you have to lose?
All right, then. I think we have another caller. Thank you, Marcia Dees, for calling in.
Okay. God bless
you. All righty. Now, we have a caller from the 909 area code. Let's see who this is. Caller, your name, where you're calling from, and what question do you have for Reverend Cooper? Hello, caller from the 909.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Cynthia, and I just wanted to ask the pastor if he could just explain to some of the callers why Jesus loves them so much. He's asking, telling them that they can come to Christ, but if they know just how much God loves them, that will help them to make that commitment in order to come to Jesus.
Amen.
All right. That's a wonderful question. Amen. Because it's kind of hard to put in context the love that God has for us. We all know John 3:16, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." And so when we consider giving our only child away, in the natural, that would be almost unthinkable. Amen. That's how much love God has for us. He'll do things, amen, in the spirit that we could never even conceive of doing in the natural. And he loved us enough to give his only begotten Son, not just to be our example and an expression, amen, of what it means to be a God person or a God man or a God woman. But he also gave his life as the supreme sacrifice and the payment for our sins. Because without that, we wouldn't be atoned for. And that atonement is what has brought us back into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so we need to receive it, amen. Because the truth about the matter is, callers, it's already done and it's working, whether you work it or not. That's a lovely thing. Jesus is here for you, whether you receive him or not. What Jesus has done has been done for you, whether you receive it or not. My question to the callers is, why not receive it?
Why not?
Why not receive it?
Why not?
Why not the Lord of your life right now? Amen. So you, number one, you know your eternity will be sealed, and you don't have to have that doubt. Amen. And not only that, too, now you can begin a relationship with him and begin to follow him. Amen. And allow him to teach you, amen, the way he taught his disciples to do. Amen. Can I share this right quick before we close this out?
Yes, go back ahead, Reverend.
Matthew chapter 10. It says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, amen, and so many times, followers of Jesus Christ, we refer to ourselves as disciples, amen. And he said, and when he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That's the kind of power you want to walk around with, and that's what we have. Isn't it time we started using that? Glory be to God, hallelujah. The power, amen, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease?
Yes.
You mean tuberculosis? You mean cancer? You mean diabetes? You mean heart disease? You mean autism? You mean cerebral palsy? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. God gives that power to his disciples. What about you?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, indeed. Reverend Cooper, you have a tremendous conference call on Sunday mornings. Can you tell my listeners a little bit about that?
Amen. Close to 2 years ago, amen, by the prompting of some of our listeners, amen, that have been involved with my ministry over the years, we began a conference call where we actually come on and share the word of God, amen, via conference call. And it actually has turned into pretty much a church service, amen. Would you agree?
I would agree, most definitely.
Amen. And now it's something that we do on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings. And we come on every Sunday morning at 12 o'clock, amen, and we praise the Lord and we pray and we testify, glory be to God. We play music, we celebrate Jesus Christ, and we break the bread of life, amen, by the eating of the word of God. And we get a word from God every week, and God blesses us, amen, and the Holy Spirit moves mightily. And this is what we do. We also come out.
That's 12 o'clock Eastern time. And that's, what time is here on the West Coast?
That's 12 o'clock Eastern. That's also 9 o'clock Pacific time, 11 o'clock Central.
Now, if someone wants to get involved and listen in, how do they do that?
You dial this number. Amen. It's called Fellowship in the Word. And you dial this number. It's 1-530-881-1000. That's 1-530-881-1000. And the access code is 106-4754. You'll need an access code, 106-4754. We'd love to have you. And if I might add this too, we also come on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. to those who may want to have a midweek celebration in Jesus Christ.
And, you know, and I can testify, I try not to miss it. I try to get there every Sunday morning because, it, you know, it gets me up, has me thinking, and, you know, gets, the first thing I want to know, not look at the news and see what happened over the weekend in South Central Los Angeles. I want to hear something positive. I want to hear something good, something that God has to say to me, you know, something good. And I would tell my listeners out there to be sure, if you can, to tune in. If you don't got to have those numbers, you can contact me, and I will get you those numbers. Reverend Ira Cooper, before we
Amen.
Go, it's been wonderful as usual. And as my listeners know, you've been here before, and you'll be back again. I'm hoping to get your son on to do some music with us.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'll say this to the listeners, amen. He does play for us. He plays live on the conference call, and God is really using him. And so if you really want to hear some anointed music, amen, along with an anointed conference call, by all means, dial 530-881-1000, access code 106-4754. And Dr. Lewis, we always enjoy it when you're on the conference call, and we miss you when you're not there. And so we ask you to continue to come. You encourage us, and it's just good to have you on the line.
Okay, Reverend Cooper. Well, before we go, it's been fun. We got to run. It's been so inspirational here on the Words of Inspiration tonight. Is there anything you'd like to close us out with?
I'd like to close out with this thought. Amen. What God has for you is for you. Amen. Have a blessed night.
You have a blessed night, too. Ladies and gentlemen, Robert R. Cooper out of Sandusky, Ohio, a young man that I've known.
There's a song that we sing in our church in New York.
God
bless
you. God bless
you. It's about an every Sunday song. Listen, I don't need you to be tired now. I need those of you that are going to help us stand up, and we're going to give God glory. We praise God. He has a name that's above every name.
Yeah.
So the song just simply says this. It says,
I call you holy. Your name is holy. You are so holy to me.
Somebody say that.
I call you holy. Your name is holy.
Faithful, hey, we're about to move and groove and get into the Words of Wisdom part of the show here with Franklin Donnie D. Who, me? Franklin Donnie D. Not on FM, not on XM, not on AM, but on Blog Talk Radio on Saturday night as we move and groove it and we take you to another level. We're going to move it and groove it and go with Rose Mallet and the Snake. And the snake, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to call in to be a part of the show tonight, be sure you can call in at 646-595-3338. That's 646-595-3338. Tell us what you're doing out there. We'd like to get into another song right now called
Pasadena.
Oh, yes, the sounds of Greg Ware from the Big Now LP. Hello, Pasadena, you know what's up. my people in the Richfield, Inglewood, Thompson, Las Vegas, London, San Francisco, Alton, Arosia, towards our gate. Blog Talk Radio. Coming up next will be our guest, a young author, Shania Mayo. I keep getting that first name right or wrong, but I'm going to get it when I get her on the show here in a few minutes. Identifying and Breaking the Cycle. That's right. And right before she comes on, we got this right here for you. We're going to go right on and out of that. We're going to get into our guest. Ms. Mayo, is this you?
Yes, it is.
All right. How are you doing? First of all, excuse me for getting your first name wrong. Tell the people out there your first name.
Shania.
Shania Mayo, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, Shania Mayo, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm actually a marriage and family therapist trainee, working towards my hours to get my license. I just wrote the book entitled Identifying and Breaking the Cycle to help families and individuals break cycles within their families and their relationships.
Okay. Can you tell us some of the cycles that we need to break?
The main cycles that I see prevalent among people today are having favorites within the family. And it causes division, because if this child or this aunt or this particular person is your favorite, then what are you saying about the rest of your family members? So favoritism within the family is very big, and it causes low self-esteem with the person that's not the favorite. So those are the subtle cycles that I try to talk about. Most people focus on substance abuse and things like that, but my book talks about subtle cycles that are overlooked in everyday families and relationships.
Okay. Now I'm looking here at chapter 5, Married into Chaos. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Married into Chaos talks about those in-laws that are so enmeshed with the spouse that they actually become a problem within your marriage. And I talk about how it's okay to have cohesiveness within a family, but it becomes a problem when the in-laws are coming in between the wife and the husband. It's very common in a lot of families, and I talk to different people and clients and so forth where they have issues with their in-laws. And in the chapter, I talk about how the spouse has to be the one that basically steps up and say, you know what, you will not disrespect my wife or my husband. I will not let you come in between us. So it talks about things like that. You know how when someone in your family gets married, sometimes family members are intimidated by that because they feel like that person is taking their time away from their cousin, brother, sister, or whatever. So it just talks about things like that.
Okay, well, I'm going to take that a little further. How about a young married couple, a married couple, where there's children involved from a previous marriage, and a lot of times there can be some resentment against the new parent, and how would you tackle that?
I would tackle that basically by saying that as parents or adults, we often date without considering how that may impact our children. And the first thing that I would say is you definitely need to bring this person around your child if you feel like it's going to be serious, to see how they interact with your child, because it's not just you in a relationship. Your child is going to have to deal with this person too. I grew up in an era where kids were meant to be seen and not heard, and unfortunately it was a bad thing, because you do need to you get your kids' opinions, not to say that you need to allow them to make your decisions, but their feelings matter because they are a part of the family subsystem. So you definitely need to talk to your kids about how they feel about this person that you plan on being with for a very long time.
Very good. I like that. Let's go to a subject that I love to talk about. And I must admit, I haven't finished reading the book. My co-host started to read the book, and she's not here tonight, but I think she's going to be on the line, and I'll get her on with some questions for you. But chapter 13, Church or God?
Church or God is something that also is very common. You know, growing up in church, I was basically taught, like, you know, we were at church Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, and it was almost like we were serving a building and not God, because it comes to a point where you're doing everything in the church, and sometimes you resent going because it's like you're being forced to serve. And that's what I talk about. A lot of times people in the church, they're pleasing people instead of pleasing God. And when I say that is they're doing everything in the church, but they're really bitter because they don't want to carry out those specific duties. And a lot of times it causes chaos in the household because if you're married, if your spouse is dedicated Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, which is okay for some people, but your life shouldn't be dedicated to a building. It should be dedicated to God. And Christianity is a lifestyle. Religion is routine. So if you're a Christian, ministry should be wherever you go, at your job, at the grocery store, at the park, among family. So you don't have to be at the church building to carry out ministry. It should be within you.
Go ahead. Amen. 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 And, I, you know, right before you came on tonight, we have a segment called Words of Inspiration, and I had Reverend Ara Cooper from Sandusky, Ohio, and he just laid out a lot of good things for us tonight. And now I'm going moving on to another part of identifying breaking the cycles. Now, I wrote a book, Single Mother's Guide to Raising Black Boys, and I have people who would ask me, well, how come you didn't write about Hispanic boys or white boys or Asian boys? And me, myself, personally, I see a difference in the cultures and in the way that certain kids of certain cultures are raised. Now, when you, in your book, would this book identify as a generally to everybody, or will it hit on your experiences as far as in your culture? Tell me something about that.
This book is definitely, it definitely is from my own personal experience. But it's also from, because I work with clients, I was over the youth group at my church. So it's not just my life. It's life that I've seen within clients in all colors, because in all races, all socioeconomic backgrounds, all cultures, all genders, everybody can identify with the cycle. Every family has a cycle in it, whether it's negative or positive. The cycles that I talk about in my family are the dysfunctional ones, which people like even having a favorite. Most people would think, well, there's nothing wrong with the favorite, but it is if one child is feeling inadequate or less than. So it's no color lines in my book, because I feel like anybody that picks up the book could relate or see a family member or see themselves or see, you know what, I've seen this before. So it doesn't really focus on a particular culture, because, like I said, every family can identify with some sort of cycle, because a cycle is something that is passed down from generation to generation, and everyone has that.
True that. Now, fear is not an option. You know, a lot of us live with fear. You know, I lived with fear for so long. I'm 59 years old, and this is the first year, believe it or not, out of my 59 years, that I am not in fear anymore. You know, I leave it up to Jesus Christ now. But what do you say about fear is not an option?
Fear is not an option talks about a mother that basically grew up to, like I said before, where a child was meant to be heard and not seen, and she became a people pleaser, and she told her daughter not to be like that, but she was modeling it to her, and her daughter was repeating her behavior. Because most people say, oh, somebody's shy, and honestly, I really don't believe in being shy, because shy just means it's a fear, because you're not shy. You're worried about what, how other people are going to perceive you. And so even in that aspect, it's like you're more concerned about what people feel about you versus how you feel about yourself. So in that chapter, that's the thing I talk about people pleasing. And a lot of times society makes it normal. So when we say shy, we don't basically correlate it to a fear. We just say we're shy, when in reality it is a fear. So that's what that chapter talks about, basically turning into a people pleaser, not believing enough in yourself, basically to not worry about what other people think, to please yourself versus people.
Very good, very good. I met you at the Pomona First Family Second Annual picnic a couple of weeks ago. And,
yes,
and I saw your book. And being an myself, I love to talk to your authors, especially young authors. And it was so gratifying to see that you had your booth set up, you had other products, and you had your book there. And how is your book, where is your book available?
My book is available at breakingthecyclebook.com. And if you go on that website, you can email me for speaking engagements, and you can get an app on your phone if you don't want the paperback book. You can actually get an app on Google Play if you have an Android or Amazon. So that's breakingthecyclebook.com.
Oh, so they can get it on ebook.
Not yet. I just have it as an app on your phone in paperback. I'm working on the ebook as we speak.
Okay. How long has this book been out?
This book just came out 2 months ago. So I just released the book. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. I'm so glad to hear this. Now, what made you decide to come up with this? You know, with me, God gave me a project. You know, to some people, everybody has their own thing. I believe that God gives us all a project. What made you come up with this one?
Just my life in general. Growing up, I guess I was like the eyeball, seeing different things within my family that I didn't necessarily agree with, that even as a child that I knew that it was dysfunctional, and knowing that I didn't want my kids to be raised in that same type of environment. And then when I started not to just look at my life, my clients' life, the youth in my church, the different people that I started to talk to, I realized that it was a common thing in most families. And so I just wanted to enlighten people about the subtle things that can actually cause division and actually harm your family and relationships if you don't really change and break the cycle. So it was just imperative for me not only to break cycles within my own life, but to also empower other people to break them in theirs.
Very good. You know, I work here in Pasadena Schools, and I've been doing it for 30 years, and I've run across some families with certain last names, and the one I had 30 years ago was in trouble. The one I had 15 years ago was in trouble. 10 years ago in trouble. And that's a vicious cycle that needs to be stopped. You know,
right.
We have, you know, my grandpapa was a blood, you know, so I'm a blood. My father went to prison. I'm in prison. My father beat his wife. I'm going to beat my wife.
Right.
We need to, you know, those are vicious cycles that need to be stopped. Would you agree with me?
I definitely agree. And those is a lot of topics that I cover in my book, because in reality, from the time we are born, behavior is learned. It's taught. And I was having a conversation with some classmates of mine, and they were talking about how whooping or spanking, however you word it, it's a culture thing. And when I thought back, one of my classmates, they looked at me and they thought I was going to get offended by it. And when I thought about it, I was like, why is it prevalent for African Americans to whoop their kids? And when I thought about it, in slavery, the slaves were beat. And so that's how
right.
they learn to discipline. And so when you do something and your child is watching you, they're going to mimic the same thing that you're doing. It's easy to say, oh, well, don't smoke because I don't want you to smoke. Even though I'm smoking, it's bad for you. Kids are not going to do what you say. They're going to do what they see. So if you
exactly.
want to break a cycle or break off from certain behavior, you can't just dictate it or say it. You have to show it. You have to be an example for your kids. We always think that people in the public eye, these rappers, these athletes, are our kids' examples. But the reality of it is, our kids are watching us every day. We are the example for our kids. And if you want your kids to model certain behavior, you need to start with yourself.
Step up to the plate. I believe that. So heavy, young lady. So heavy. I think I have a caller here for you from, let's see, 626-319. Let me see who this is. Caller, your name and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, caller, your name and where you're calling from. Do you have any questions?
Yes, this is Linda. Calling from LA. And
can you speak up a little bit, Linda, please?
Okay.
This sounds like a very, very good book. And I am curious if she has anything in it regarding, fathers that are absent from the home.
Yeah.
I actually didn't write about that, but that's definitely going to be in an upcoming book. I didn't really touch bases on the absentee father in the home, no. But
okay.
It does talk about blended families and dating and how dating impacts your kids. I do touch bases on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I just am curious about, you know, absent parents and how it affects the children. And I didn't, you know, I don't know what all your book has in it, but from what you're talking about, it sounds very, very helpful.
Yeah, the absent father, I didn't put it in the book. I thought about it, but then I was like, okay, this is something for later. But, yeah, having an absent father or mother in home definitely affects the children, because if you're raising a son, who's going to model that male figure role? Who's going to be that male role model for him? And for a daughter, if she's doesn't get that love from her father, and a lot of people don't believe it, but it's true. She's going to look for that same love that she didn't get from her father in boys. And that's when you see little girls
right.
acting out, chasing boys and being permitted, because they're looking for that acceptance, for that validation that they didn't get from their father.
Of course, of course. Well, I am going to look into your book, but, you know, maybe you can do another one and hit some other points.
I have many more books, trust me.
Okay, fantastic. Well, God bless you and good luck.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you, caller, for calling in.
Okay, bye.
You know, that the caller brought up something very interesting, and that about absentee fathers, and that's a cycle.
Definitely.
Definitely. Has to be broken. You know, go ahead.
The sad thing about it is, and this is what I talk about in my book as well, is how it's so easy to see the cycle, but to break it is the challenge. Because when you've been taught something for so long, it's comfortable, it's easy. So to go against the cycle, and sometimes breaking cycles, you're going to have rift within your family because they're going to see you as now the outcast because you're trying to do something different than what they feel like is normal or what you should be doing. So it's a challenge, but it's necessary because not having a father in the home, it's too common today. It's too common.
Right.
And we almost accept it like it's okay and it's normal.
We do, and it is very acceptable. You know, you turn on TV and they got shows like Maury Povich, and the main thing they talk about is my baby's daddy. You are not
right.
the baby daddy. You're the baby daddy. I'm watching the news. They're talking about 50 Cent. He had some problems with his baby mama. You know, where's husband? Where's wife? This
right.
is not acceptable. Baby mama, baby daddy. Oh, you know, girl, my baby daddy? No.
Right.
I don't
But that's
it.
Was it's a common trend that it's kind of cute to some people because it's been made to be cute. And I talk about even with relationships, like we look for relationships, what kind of car somebody drive, what kind of job they have, the superficial things, not the things that's really going to matter. How is this man or woman going to impact my life? How are they going to be with my children? How are they going to encourage me, uplift me? Are they going to be there for the long haul, or am I just going to have a kid by them? These are the things that people often don't consider when they're dating.
No. You know, and the sad thing about it is you said those materialistic things. When I was coming up, it was either if you was light-skinned it, or if you were dark-skinned it.
Oh, that's still common today.
Yeah, you got good hair, which there's no such thing as good hair in my opinion.
Right,
you
right.
know, just some of these things, you know.
But
it
even
got
when you look
all
at,
twisted.
But even when you go back to complexion and hair texture, even that comes back from slavery because the light skin was in the house and the dark skin was in the field and the light
exactly.
was better because, and we have taken this on as an African American culture and we have embraced it. I have heard girls that say they want kids by different races just so their kids can look a certain way. And the reality of it is we have forgotten that when God created us, he created a masterpiece. And to say that we don't like ourselves is saying that God made a mistake when God doesn't make mistakes. And
exactly.
I really believe you have to teach your kids to love and embrace themselves no matter what color they are, what complexion, what hair texture, how fat, how skinny, how big. teach your kids to love them for them. But if you don't love you for yourself, how could you model that to your kids? The best example is being you and embracing yourself and showing your kids how to be confident in your own skin.
Ooh. Now, may I ask, young lady, I never like to ask a young lady this, but approximately how old are you?
I'm 32.
32, very good. You know, and it makes me feel good to hear that a 32-year-old young lady has got this much going for her. And, you know, people ask me, what made you write a book or what? Why'd you write a book? I say everybody has a story.
Right, everyone.
Everybody has a story. The only difference between them and us is we write ours down.
Right.
You know. And that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Everybody
right.
has a story. Hollywood is full of them, you know. But identifying and breaking the cycle, that is, you know, something, you know, there's so many different things. But the main part is identifying and not being in denial.
Right.
You know. And that's what, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Okay, let's hit this one up right here. Because I saw my mother break this cycle before it even got started. It started to get started, and she broke it, and that was bound to poverty. Can we enlighten us on that?
Oh, just growing up, we were on food stamps, we were on government assistance, and there's nothing wrong with government assistance at all. People look down on it, but if you're using government assistance to better yourself, to get ahead, I just see it's too common today where people are on government assistance and they're getting comfortable. And this is my thing. At any time, laws change, the government changes, the president changes. So when those changes comes new laws. And if you're dependent on these government assistance, what happens when they deduct it? What happens when they take it? What do you do then? So it's just having a poverty mentality when you're stuck on these systems and these programs instead of saying, you know what, I have more within myself. Let me better myself for my future, for my kids, for generations to come. And there's so many people that stay stuck on these programs. These programs are here to help you, not for you to be stagnant or for them to enable you. And I was on government assistance for many years, but I made it a point for it to help me accomplish my goals and my dreams, to get to the place where I want to be a billionaire. I want my kids to be set for life, and their kids and their kids and their kids. And sometimes, because we have a poverty mentality, we don't even think out the box. We don't even think it's possible. We don't even think we can. And anything is possible as long as you are putting your foot forth to do it, to accomplish it, to achieve it. As long as there's a will, there's always a way. You just have to be in position and have the willpower to do it.
Right on, right on. Preach on. And we also need to let our kids know, in my opinion, that there's more than just sports and entertainment to
right.
breaking that cycle.
Right.
You know, there's so many different avenues. You have to look outside that box. They have a, you know, we're in a box of, well, I can play basketball, football, I can be a
right.
rapper, I can do this. There's so much more in this world that you can do.
It's almost,
you know,
in the African-American culture as if that's what they kind of, we kind of set our kids up for. You're going to be an athlete or a rapper, and we don't teach our kids. You could be the doctor. You could be the lawyer. You could be
right.
the author. You could be the therapist. And those are things that we have to instill in our kids. But, again, if you don't believe you could be it, then how do you expect your kids to believe that they can?
Exactly. Exactly. Very much so, you know. Is this your first book?
This is my first book.
Let me see here. I'm looking through this book right here, The Rejected Child. What? Tell me something about The Rejected Child.
The Rejected
Did we
Child
on
is.
That?
Huh?
Did we hit on the Rejected Child yet?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
But the rejected child basically talks about it's a girl who basically is raised by her mother, that her mother's so caught up in partying and basically trying to live the single young life that she fails to be a mother for her daughter. And then her mom and her dad break up, and her dad gets with the woman who basically, you have some women and some men that they want the mate, but they don't want the children. So that's another form of rejection. And then she grows up and meets a boyfriend and has a child at an early age, and then she's rejected by the mother-in-law because the mother-in-law basically feels like she's taking her son. So she grows up where basically three women could have been influential and empowering to her, that they basically all reject her in different forms, which makes her have a low self-esteem and a low confidence level, and she has to learn to rebuild on her own and regain that basically by having a daughter young and not wanting to repeat the same cycle to her daughter, which the girl in the book is actually me.
Oh, heavy. Like I said, everybody got a story, you know.
Right.
And you wrote yours down. Now, when I was at the function at Pudding Stone, it's like we used to call it back in the day, Pudding Stone. You had a booth, and you had, what else were you, did you have, did I see T-shirts and other items?
Yes, my husband actually has a clothing line, grindface.net, which is grindface apparel that he's pushing and getting it out there, and it's starting to get a little buzz. So, yeah, we both have our own set of goals and our dreams, and we push and encourage one another to get to those goals.
Okay, well, you know, give your husband my number, and we'll do an interview with him also.
I definitely will.
Definitely will. Now, were you born and raised in Pomona?
I was born in Upland, but, yes, I was raised in the Pomona area.
Okay.
And so were my parents.
What school did your parents go to?
Pomona High, and I actually went to Palomar's in Pomona High.
Very strange, because I went to Palomar's in Pomona High, too. What year did your parents graduate?
That I'm not for sure. I'm sorry.
What's your parents' name?
Sandra Matthews and Lawrence Smith. But he goes by Wayne.
And they went to Pomona High?
Yeah.
I bet I know him.
Yeah, you probably do.
I bet. You know, because that was such a small
community. My father is from the Centown area, and my mom grew up on the north side.
In the islands?
Actually, Ghost Town.
Ghost Town, okay. Yeah, because, you know, Pomona has a very interesting history.
Right.
My second book is dealing with the history and the racism and a lot of the stuff that went back and down in the 60s and 70s in Pomona. And if your parents were around at that time in Pomona, they would definitely remember that.
Right. I've heard stories.
Oh, yeah. There were some times, some very rough times at Pomona High and Palomar's. But getting back to you in your book, now tell us one more time. Wait a minute. Okay, this is what I asked you. Did you self-publish?
I did self-publish. I was in the process of looking for an agent, and me being me, I'm never going to wait on anybody. And to wait, it meant that my book would be at a standstill. And I know this book is going to liberate people out of bondage, and so it was imperative for me to get the book out.
I understand. I had to self-publish myself. You know, there's a lot of messages that need to be put out there where publishers will read the title, read the book, and say no. There's
right.
Stories. Yeah, there's stories, screenplays that are very heavy that will not be put out there. I think we need to be in control of, you know, like we were saying, bring the fact our kids can become publishers.
Right.
We can own publishing houses. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so we can take care of these things. We can become the producers and directors, and we can put our stories out there. You know, so, but there's a beauty in self-publishing, you know. You get your story out there, the money that's made doesn't all go to the man, to the publisher. You know?
Right.
So, you know, there's a beauty in it. And you have your product here, and I'm definitely going to have to get back into it. And can you tell us one more time where to get this product from, this book from?
BreakingTheCycleBook.com. So it's spelled the normal, regular way, BreakingTheCycleBook.com.
And your name again?
Sania Mayo.
Okay, now, do you have a Facebook or a Facebook page or a email?
Yes, I have a Facebook page and an email, and it's spelled S as in Sam, A-N-I-Y-Y-A-H, and then my last name, like Cinco de Mayo, M-A-Y-O. That's my Facebook page. Go and like it. And Sania Mayo at Gmail. Again, I spell it for you, SANIYYAHMAYO at gmail.com.
Okay. Well, you know, it's been fun. We got to run. And I would like for everybody out there that if in the sound of my voice, if this is a worldwide show, to go ahead and pick this book up, order this book. There's something in there that will be able to help you and your family. And I would like to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely, and I want you back. I want to hear from your husband also. And keep doing the things you're doing. And from that website, if someone wants to hear you speak on the subject, they can catch you there, correct?
Yes, at BreakingTheCycleBook.com. If you want to book me for speaking engagements, because that is also a passion, I'm going to be doing motivational speaking. So you can, if you have questions, concerns, you can do all that through the website. And, again, the website is BreakingTheCycleBook.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Mayo. Mayo.
Thank you.
And welcome. This is Franklin Tony D on Words of Wisdom Radio, thanking this young lady for doing what she does, and I know that God put her out there to do this. As we move in a group and go into a little thing called Smooth by my main man, Mr. Will Kimsey. God bless. right, all right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That has been the sounds of the fantastic one himself, Will Kinsey. Yeah, so anyway, we're going to have Cookie with Nicole, but we're going to have to try to get her back again next week. If you're out there listening, Nicole, call and give us a little something about what you can do, what we can have. I'm going to get into a song called Couple of Days, because I've had a really hell of a couple of days, I want to tell you. Bob Williams, hey!
I when I met you, but I wanted just a little bit more. You said you were into me, but suddenly you really weren't sure. I hope I wasn't pushing you, I'd quietly get out of the way. But before you're really through with me, I only got one thing to say. Will you marry me? Will you marry me? For a couple of days. Will you marry me? Will you marry me? For a couple of days. You play house, doctor, baby doll, whatever you want. Cause nothing lasts forever, girl, it doesn't have to be that long. I just wanna be with you long enough to be on my way, yeah. This is our proposal, woman, yes, it's all you have to say. Yeah, yeah. Will you marry me? Will you marry me? For a couple of days. Will you marry me? Will you marry me? For a couple of days, 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 for a couple of days. That's right, baby, doll. For a couple of days, for a couple of days. How does this sound, honey? Moon stays out on the town. Hustling and white for a minute with no one around. Committed to each other for a very short period of time. Nothing stands between us, I am yours, baby, you're mine. This time, will you marry me? Will you marry me? For a couple of days, will you marry me? Will you marry me? For a couple of days, will you marry me? Will you marry me? For a couple of days, will you marry me? Will you marry me? For a couple of days.
All right, then there. Let's see here. Who we have here? Caller, your name and where you calling from. Is this Nicole? Hello, is this Nicole? Hello? Let's try one more time. Is this Cooking with Nicole? Are you there? I guess not. Well, Nicole, if you come back on, let me know, because I know you're out there somewhere with a recipe for Donnie D. Let me know. Nicole, where you at? Yeah, yeah, I'm not going back to the 1950s. Let's take it this way. The sounds of the Dramatics, Rob Bass and Dramatics, L.J. Reynolds. I'm going to go outside in the rain. And that was the sound of the fantastic, dramatic Nicole. Are you there? Try one more time. Nicole.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, there you are, ladies and gentlemen, cooking with Nicole. What's going on, Nicole?
Nothing much. Just got through making a little dish. Thought
okay,
I'd
well,
share it with you guys.
Go right ahead.
I made some homemade hot wings tonight. And basically, this is what you do. You go to your local grocery store and get you one of those family packs of chicken wings. And the kind that are not frozen, those are the ones I like to use. And you cut them yourself into party wings.
Okay.
You get more like that, so that's why I choose to do it like that.
So it's more economical to buy them that way and cut them yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. So you cut them, you throw away the wing tip, and just use the drum and the other wing section, and season your chicken with seasoning salt, garlic salt, pepper, and what I like to use is some hot red pepper flakes and
Woo!
A little bit of
caliente.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Definitely. And I like to use a little bit of mustard on it. For some reason, the mustard helps the skin stay crunchy. That's what I've done.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you hear that, people? A little bit of mustard helps it stay crunchy. Okay. Go right ahead, Nicole.
After you season up your chicken, you know, you have your oil going, you just pop in the chicken wings in the oil, the hot oil, fry them for about, I'm going to say about 12 minutes so that they're crispy. You don't have to use flour or anything like that. You just pop in the chicken, skin on after you season, just regular, you know, just with nothing on it except for the seasoning, put it in there. Fry it for about 10 minutes. Put them to the side after you see the wings float up to the top of your pan. That's how you know that the inside is done cooking. Just let it get crisp. Take them out. Put them to the side. Then you get any type of hot sauce that you want to use. I usually like the Louisiana hot sauces, like Crystal or Red Rooster. I prefer Crystal, though. You get about 2 tablespoons of butter, melt it in a pan, then put half a bottle of your Crystal hot sauce, mix them together. You mix the butter and the hot sauce together, let it bubble up a bit. You put your chicken wings in a bowl, and then you pour the sauce on top, toss them, and then what I like to do is spread them out in a baking dish, put them under the broiler for about 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes. Pull them out, and you have homemade hot wings.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they'll go out and buy hot wings from the pizza place, Domino's. So,
right.
You know, and are you getting the real thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you have a side dish with that?
Yes. I had fried broccoli.
Fried broccoli. And you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. What you do is you get your fresh broccoli florets, fresh, not frozen. Dip them in a little bit of egg, then dip them in some seasoned flour, deep fry them, pull them out.
Okay.
It's just that simple. They taste very good.
Okay, and what did you have to drink to go along with that?
Water.
To wash it. Water? Nah, I'm glad.
Yes.
I'm glad you would say Kool-Aid. Water, good. Straight up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Cooking with Nicole, my daughter Nicole Lewis. She's full of thousands of delicious recipes. We hope to have her every Saturday night to give you a little recipe or two. But if you can't catch up with her or catch up with the show and you want to know you having a problem with something to cook, you know, she might charge you. I don't know. But I can contact you for a great idea on a meal.
You can reach me on Facebook, Nicole the Perfect Friend Lewis.
Nicole the Perfect Friend Lewis.
Yeah,
so
that's my Facebook name.
Now, if someone is having if someone is doesn't know they're having something going on, they don't know what to cook, and they call you or they contact you, you know, I feel myself, until the book comes out, you know, there might be a small fee. Would it be a small fee, or will it be free?
It would be free.
Okay. And if they want to give a donation, they can give a donation.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't think I could start charging anybody to do anything until I get at an expert level.
Well, you know, donations are always good and they always help you get to that expert level. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's see here. Looking at the clock, I got about 10 minutes left. Is there anything you'd like to say to the people out there before we move it and groove it and get ready to get off the air?
Yes. Cook more, no fast food. You'll stay alive longer.
Oh, okay. What about, wait, before you go, what about them shrimp, them lobsters, and them crab legs? What about them?
Don't eat them that often.
Yeah. You know, it's like there's use and abuse of anything. Now, you
right.
can enjoy them, but don't eat them every week. It's like fried
right.
chicken. You know, it's like Kool-Aid. You know, there's
right.
some things that you don't just do every day. Okay,
right.
Well, Nicole, I had a couple of good guests. I don't know if you heard them. I had Robert Cooper from Sandusky,
mm-hmm.
Ohio. And I had a young lady, Shania Mayo, who wrote a book identifying and breaking the cycle. About things.
Mm-hmm. I heard a little bit of that.
Yeah, young lady from Pomona, California. But hey, it's been fun. I got to run. Who, me? Donnie D. Not on AM, not on FM, not on XM, but on Blog Talk Radio. Love you, Nicole. Talk to you later.
All right. Love you, too.
Bye-bye. Out to someone very special out there tonight. You know who you are. I'm just kind of mixed up and trying to get my head together.
And don't you come.
featuring Michael Henderson here on the Donna D Radio Show on a Saturday night. That clock is ticking away, my friends, I must say. We're going to move it and groove it and party a little bit more. Before we get out of here, sounds of Eddie Holman. Hey there, Lonely Boy. Lonely Boy, too.
'cause I'm forever.
That's right. Okay, we got. It's been fun. We got to run next week. If you believe that there's injustice in the court system, if you've been watching the Trayvon Martin case, you tune in to my show and tell a friend, tell a kid. Very important show coming on Saturday. Jose Costa, a bunch of people from back east, written books about the subject, how they will take your house, they will do whatever they got to do, and they will want to keep those jails filled with minority boys and girls and, you know, black and Hispanics. Be sure, if you ain't listening to no show, you tune in on the 13th and check us out. I'll have more about it coming up soon.
Skizzer and cocaine. Shite motherfucking Skizzer. Holla at him, cocaine.
I'm super bad.
When they hold keys, ducking the rollies with ice cold 40s, banging oldies at the house party, hollering at Brody's. And fuck the police and the DA too. He hate me, and if you black, he hate you. Man, the game's a fool. I'ma take what I learned in you.
Like that, you knock me out.